Hello and welcome to The Short Squeeze, a podcast about what's happening in financial markets in the coming week. I'm Lucy Battersby, editor of Markets Live, a daily live blog on the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age websites. This week we're going to talk about the dividends that are being cancelled by companies as they go into hibernation to get through the coronavirus economic shutdown, the Reserve Bank Board meeting decision on rates, a potential opening up of the retail bond market within a very short time frame, and what shape the recovery might take on equity markets. Today I'm joined by IG Markets analyst Kyle Rotter. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Every day we're getting news stories about capital raisings from companies on the stock exchange so they can get through the so-called hibernation period while the economy's in lockdown. We're also hearing about dividends being cancelled left, right and centre, or being lowered or just being delayed. What does this do for investors, especially people who are trying to live off their investments, like self-funded retirees?
Yeah, I think this is one of the really big, difficult, perhaps even intractable issues at the moment policymakers are facing. So for me at the moment, this concern is twofold. Obviously, it's the fundamental issues now around companies pulling dividends and investors losing that particular income. The real concern is at the moment, though, is that this is happening in an environment, obviously, of very low interest rates. So cash isn't delivering you anything. And bond yields are being increasingly suppressed, too. So wherever you look for fixed income, you're also struggling to get a return. So it puts the challenges for retail investors really under the microscope now, because if stocks, particularly the big companies, the banks are probably the ones that I'm looking at most closely, if they cut their dividends, and not only that, we see that result in maybe some kind of depreciation in the actual the capital value of the stock too, that it puts a lot of people in a very precarious situation as it relates to sustaining their lifestyle through this very difficult, likely recessionary period.
So if we can just talk about the banks for a second. So last week, that both the Bank of England and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand asked their commercial banks to stop paying dividends to try and support the stability of the financial system. There's an expectation that that might happen in Australia as well. So many people had never occurred to them that the banks would cancel their dividends. It was seen as something that was as stable as houses.
It is a massive risk. It really shocked the market last week when the RBNZ pulled the decision. Obviously, we had APRA and both the government come out and say, well, we're not going to enforce that ourselves, we'll leave it up to the banks. But in a situation, particularly in Australia, where you're looking at potentially the loan book of a lot of these banks to take a significant hit as house prices likely take a massive tumble, the need to remain very well capitalized throughout this only increases. So you do see those dividends cuts. There's that sort of real risk of a vicious cycle emerging in stock prices as obviously yields fall. People have to sell stocks to try and secure some kind of income, and you see that kind of cascade effect. But watch this space in terms of the banks, because it's already happened in Europe, it's already happened in the UK, like you said, in New Zealand. If we continue to see this kind of economic fallout, you'd expect our banks potentially to have to follow suit.
And the scary thing is, with the companies that are able to do a capital raise at the moment, they're having to do it at such extraordinary conditions that it is likely to dilute the earnings for a long time to come. Webjet it's deferred its interim dividend, but it's gone and raised nearly $350 million. But it did that by issuing over 130 million new shares, and they start trading next week. So what's going to happen is, when the company bounces back as soon as the virus passes, which analysts are expecting it will do, they're expecting a V-shaped recovery in Webjet, but the dividends are going to be halved in coming years. So I was looking at a Credit Suisse note yesterday, and they're expecting dividends of 9 cents in 2021 rather than the 22 cents that people got last financial year. And Southern Cross Media has done an equity raising where they've had to increase the number of shares on issue by 250%. So even if a company does make it through, like, these are the people who are going to make it through, they're going to be nowhere near as good as investment as they were just a month ago.
No, and this is the kind of thing that fans the flames of any kind of a bear market, is that you get that initial hit where Earnings are downgraded, but because we're hitting crisis times, obviously, like any other investor, you know, a company has to sell shares not at the price it wants, but the price that it can, any price that it can, and it has that huge diluting effect, which obviously weighs down on the market overall. So we're certainly entering sort of a new phase in this crisis now. The initial shock has passed, volatility is lower, but now we're looking at obviously the mechanics of a bear market starting to play out as companies get a little desperate.
Okay, we'll keep a very close eye on all the capital raisings as they come through. And Kyle, we've got a Reserve Bank of Australia board meeting this week where they're going to talk about potentially cutting interest rates. They're at 0.25% historical lows. The RBA's made it pretty clear they don't want to go into negative territory. What are the cash markets telling you might happen?
Well, this is fascinating for me, and it almost is built into a sort of consensus view out of the cash futures curve, is that the RBA's got another 10 basis points of cuts in them. Now, the RBA said that they don't want to go into negative interest rates, so the likelihood that they'll go to 0% or even below is quite a small risk at the moment. But the markets are expecting, given the current circumstances, that the RBA could pull what you might consider a partial interest rate cut down to 0.15%, take the cash rate down to 0.15%, which throughout this crisis isn't without precedent. The Bank of England did the same thing a few weeks ago, taking its cash rate down to 0.1%, again, just to try and ease financial conditions as much as possible. But it certainly does seem to be at loggerheads with what the RBA is saying, that the effective lower bound is 0.25%. We're there now. We take other measures to control monetary policy conditions. The market's not buying it, though. They're thinking it's going to be a 10 basis point cut, even as soon as tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be very, very interesting to see what the Reserve Bank does. It's, you know, as I've already said, it's extraordinary, unusual measures that they're going to have to do.
Definitely. And I think, you know, it's starting to get to the point now where, you know, market's going to be even asking, well, you've got the yield control, you've got the funding facility set up for small businesses, and obviously the cash rate's at a record low. You know, if things do get a little bit worse, and they quite easily could throughout this period, what else could you do if necessary? You know, do you get a fully fledged quantitative easing program, which this yield control stuff is sort of like a quantitative easing light program? Could you cut rates more? Could you go into a full-blown quantitative easing program? I think the markets will be watching very carefully for any signs of forward guidance, because so far the RBA in the last month through these other emergency policy measures have remained very much focused on the present tense. I think markets are going to starting to want to looking for a little bit more guidance from the RBA tomorrow, and I think it'll make things quite interesting.
Okay, thanks.
IG is a world-leading online trading provider, giving traders access to over 16,000 global financial markets on our award-winning platforms. With over 45 years of experience, you can trade with confidence when with IG. Visit ig.com.au for more information. All trading involves risks. Issued by IG Markets Limited, AFSL 220440.
So we've been talking about the damage to the dividend income stream that's been created by the coronavirus economic shutdown, as companies have to try and hold on to as much capital as possible. It's turning into a bit of a horrible real-life lesson for people who are trying to live off their savings. And what it's done is it's highlighted how few low-risk investment opportunities there are in Australia for retail investors. I've done an article this week talking to Jim Stenning, the Managing Director of FIG Securities, and he's a big proponent of creating a retail bond market in Australia. And it's something that's just not available to retail investors here. You can't buy a $1,000 or a $10,000 bond in a company like Qantas or Telstra, whereas in some other countries, particularly in Europe, it's extraordinarily popular. And you would still get those twice yearly payments. They're not like dividends. They're much more secure. And you'll be glad to know that the House of Reps actually has their committee on tax and revenue. They're holding an inquiry into developing a retail bond market. It was supposed to have hearings halfway through this year, but obviously they've been delayed. And the chair of that committee, Jason Falinski, he says that the legislation could be in place within a year, which I suspect is a bit optimistic. But hopefully within a few years, we could start to see much more secure retail-sized packets of corporate bonds coming through. Kyle, do you think there'd be a lot of appetite for that?
I think there'd be an extraordinary appetite for it. I mean, if you talk to people who are in you know, markets, you know, themselves, And one of the perennial frustrations is the lack of an IG bond market, an investment grade quality bond market in Australia to access corporate debt, and for companies as well to be able to access other forms of funding. It's one of the hallmarks of our banking system, this kind of oligopoly that we've set up of the big four, that most companies, you know, no matter size and shape, the very big ones can go offshore for funding, but most companies in Australia still have to rely on the retail banks to be able to get access to capital, working capital, and to try and find any sort of liquidity. This kind of environment now really highlights that fact, because obviously the banks being absolutely crucial to try and support Australian corporates and Australian businesses through this particular crisis. But one frustration there has been for a very long time, and it's never really been addressed, is that for retail investors and even companies, the very conservative nature of our banking system when compared to the United States and say parts of Europe, is that there isn't a bond market, there isn't a credit market that companies can enter to try and find investors to be able to provide a source of cheap funding. And then from the other side, again, for investors, that they don't have that option to be able to get a slightly more secure source of income. So come back down the kind of risk hierarchy a little bit away from, say, stocks, and purchase a reasonably safe haven bond to be able to secure income. So this would be a huge step forward for Australian financial markets if we could see it, and a huge opportunity to become a much more sophisticated marketplace in general.
You know, make situations like this much more bearable for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, the profile of investing in credit is much different, can provide good opportunities. Obviously, there's always criticisms around, you know, profligacy, that perhaps that, you know, you can end up with too much bad debt in markets that are too unregulated, or things that are run a little too laissez-faire. But, you know, the appetite for an investor to go out and, like you said, buy bonds in Telstra and try and secure income that way would be very high, and it would have both, you know, mutual benefits for the investor and companies alike.
And Kyle, what's on your radar this week? What have you seen that's piqued your curiosity?
Mine is all about the shape of the recovery out of the COVID-19 crisis. Now, for most parts of the world, we're obviously not at the stage yet where that's being seriously considered. You know, the United States is still looking like it's climbing towards its peak daily infection rate, so that curve hasn't flattened yet. Parts of Europe are showing tentative signs of that. Australia's doing very well. But still, a lot of the talk now that volatility is coming off in the markets is, what is this rebound like going to be in economic fundamentals and also corporate fundamentals? And I was doing a little bit of research on the weekend, looking at earnings per share for the S&P 500, and you can see quite clearly in quarter-on-quarter earnings forecasts that the expectation quite clearly is for a V-shaped recovery. And personally, I'm a little bit skeptical about the potential for that, given that the logic of this slowdown is that we've had to induce it to keep the number of cases of coronavirus from blowing out of control, that, you know, you have to shut down to flatten the curve. And that, as we've seen in Singapore and China in the last couple of weeks, that the second you stop putting pressure on the curve, that it bounces back again and you have to start shutting down things even further. So the markets are clearly pricing in a V-shaped recovery, particularly in terms of US stocks. And I think if there's one risk to the outlook going forward that may undermine some of the positivity that we're seeing coming back through the market, is that maybe the economy can't be switched on quite as simply, and we won't see a V-shaped recovery. That means we might see a little bit further downside for stock markets going forward if a V-shaped recovery doesn't emerge.
Okay. Thanks, Kyle. This has been The Short Squeeze, a podcast produced by The Age and Sydney Morning Herald in conjunction with IG Markets. You can follow daily stock market news on our live blog, and feel free to subscribe to this podcast via your podcast platform. You can catch us again next week.